Okay, is the camera on?
And action.
He's America's most infamous filmmaker.
Here I am in the island paradise, Cuba.
Totally arrogant.
I love America. That's why it needs to be destroyed.
And completely clueless.
And don't forget today.
What's today?
Election day, dummy.
Well, I'm not even registered.
I registered for you in the mail.
Well, that's great. I could get jury duty now.
Little bit of some popular movies out there. One of them called American Carol. The other one, Swing Voter. Two of the films we're going to be talking about during this hour of Issues Etc. with Brian Godawa, screenwriter in Southern California, author of the book Hollywood Worldviews, Watching Films with Wisdom and Discernment and Word Pictures. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Issues Etc. is coming to you live this Friday, October the 3rd. We'll do a little movie review going into the weekend. You can join us. We're coming to you live. 1-877-623-MYIE. 877-623-6943. You can also email us as we talk with Brian Godawa. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Brian Godawa is a regular guest, and he often joins us to do a little review of the things you might be seeing if you're going to the theater this weekend. Brian, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd. Great to be here.
A movie that is opening, I believe, today, Bill Maher's, I think they're calling it a documentary, Religious. Are you planning on seeing it?
No. They really need to create a new title, and they should call them Docugandas. Because clearly, you know, I know about it, a little bit about it, and I know, you know, about Bill Maher. And Bill Maher, you know, it's not a documentary. He's going out to just make fools of religious people and basically say religion needs to be gotten rid of because it's the cause of our evils in this world today. So that's not a documentary. That's just propaganda, and they need to call it what it is and stop, you know, confusing that categories. Because documentaries can be very good, investigative, journalistic-type things. And I'm not interested in seeing it because, it's a hate-driven propaganda piece, and I don't want to give them my money for that.
So I'm wondering, at least what it looks like to me is kind of a Borat, an atheist Borat. You know, you're walking around punking people, but it's more for shock and entertainment value than for actually getting to the heart of any real substantive issues.
Yeah, and I mean, anyone who's seen him on the various television shows, including his own, you know that he's really just about spewing hatred and inciting that sort of hatred against religion. Rather than poking good fun at things, he's very explicitly, you know, expressed hatred for religion and the belief that religion is the cause of all the evils in the world and that we need to get rid of religion. So, you know, it's one thing to poke fun at people and have some fun, but it's another to, you know, just spew hatred without really thoughtfulness.
Okay, then, speaking of poking fun, one of the films that you saw recently, American Carol, is, as far as I can tell, a send-up of the whole docuganda kind of left-wing film industry. Talk about it,
yeah,
if you would.
Yeah, it's a great movie. I recommend everyone go see it. American Carol by David Zucker. He's the famous movie director who did Airplane and all those Naked Gun movie types, you know, comedies. So it's got a little bit of, pushing the envelope on some humor and having some fun there. But it's definitely a movie that pokes fun at Hollywood. And particularly, you know, the left-wing side of Hollywood, the Michael Moores and the Rosie O'Donnells that nobody else does poke fun at because they're mostly like those people. And so in the media, you see all the fun being poked at, you know, the Republicans and Bush and that. But here's one unique sort of thing that pokes fun at the other side, which I think there's room for all of that, you know. And so he basically tells the story about a Michael Moore-type documentary filmmaker who makes movies against America, that he hates America. And then he gets visited by the spirit of JFK, much like A Christmas Carol. And JFK sort of says, you know, you dummy, don't you realize how great America is? And he has different dead spirits take him through history to show him the greatness of things in America so he can learn what he's ignorant of, you know. And so it's a laugh fest, just a lot of fun. And what makes it so funny is that it's based on some truthful things. So I think middle America will tend to love this movie, because it sort of gives their side of poking fun at things.
Is there a redemptive arc, as you like to talk about in good storytelling and filming, for the protagonist here?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's a very redemptive story. And, I think people will be satisfied with it in that sense. But, you know, you have to go to this movie realizing it's a comedy, and he wants to crack a lot of jokes. So he's going to poke fun here and there, and sometimes it'll just be for the sake of a joke. You know, it's not about, although it's obviously got political edge to it, you know, it's not like a Michael Moore movie where he's trying to be a documentary but slipping his propaganda. This one is really more about having a comedy with a particular political viewpoint, and they're just having fun.
Let's stay with the politics issue for a minute. Swing Voter is a film that, at least from what I saw in the trailer, seems kind of intriguing, especially given the fact that we're, you know, coming up on a month away from a pretty big presidential election.
Yeah, I think Swing Vote, I think it's, unfortunately, it's probably out of the theaters already, but, you know, it'll be on DVD real quick, and it basically stars as Kevin Costner as a sort of a white trash guy who's just selfish. He has a kid, he's a single father, and he's totally out of it. He doesn't vote, he's not registered, he's basically irresponsible. And a weird snafu thing happens. His daughter's very responsible, and tries to go and register him to vote, for him to vote, you know, sort of because he won't do it. And this weird snafu happens in electronics, and basically it turns out with this weird scenario where there his vote that he never got to pass is noted, and the candidates are sort of tied in that state. So in other words, literally, when he goes back to vote, then his vote will make the determination. It's, you know, it's definitely pushing the limits of belief there, but the fun of it is to sort of show this man who becomes awakened to his responsibility as all the world gives their attention, you know, from the news to the two presidential contenders. So you have these two presidential contenders trying to get his vote and trying to appeal to him, and they show both of these men on both sides equally. It's not left or right. The movie is not Republican or Democrat. It sort of shows how both sides contend to change their platform in order to get votes. In other words, it sort of shows the need to live by convictions in this world and not just swinging your vote either way just to get votes. And at the same time, sort of shows how a lot of us Americans can become apathetic and irresponsible, and we need to you know, awaken and take that responsibility seriously. Yet it is a light-hearted comedy, so it's really got a little bit of best of both worlds. I actually enjoyed it and recommend the film.
And I guess I got to, you know, Kevin Costner has kind of made a career for himself as playing quintessential American heroes.
Yeah.
I mean, he can do it very well. He kind of has that whole persona about him. Is this kind of the anti-hero? He then, in the end, Mr. Smith goes to Washington. This is not Mr. Smith, but he becomes kind of the American man?
Yeah, the everyman. But, of course, it is very redemptive in his awakening also that his irresponsibility, or this new responsibility that's shoved upon him that will affect the world, you see, it shows you that, you know, our one little vote really does count. We really do matter, and we need to be responsible. And it ties it in with his own responsibility for his daughter, taking care of his daughter. And responsibility is a whole life thing. So it really, it hits the spectrum. It's very much of an everyman movie.
I'm wondering, is there a trend emerging here, Brian? And that is, for a long time, and it's still very popular to do this, America has gotten kind of a very bad reputation in film. Even though we may be fighting terrorists in the film, sometimes the greatest corruption is in our own government or in our own army or any of those kind of things. This is the way it's depicted to us.
Yes,
there's something essentially corrupt about us. Is there something that filmmakers are beginning to see, especially with regard to the American people and their taste in movies, that wants to return to not just flag waving, but wants to return to America as a decent and good place with ideals that really do good?
Well, you know, I think that there are individuals in the business who do have that. And, for example, David Zucker, you know, is one of those. But they don't tend to be – they're far and few between. And that's why you will get some occasional movies where they will explore some of those values. But, you know, I think mostly, by and large, Hollywood is driven by people who tend to have anti-American or at least, you know, anti-American, anti-middle-class America. They have a lot of contempt. You know, these people, a lot of Hollywood is living in a bubble like a bunch of hicks or a bunch of natives in the jungle. They don't know what's going on in the real world outside of their little city of L.A. and all their posh dinners that they have with each other. And so they don't really understand that world. And so, you know, they're making these movies and they think they're being original. But, yeah, they are being very atypical for what most Americans like to see. But you'll see both sides. I mean, right now there's two movies out that sort of, in some ways, are opposite. You've got Eagle Eye, which is this thriller about these couple characters who start to realize that Big Brother is sort of after them and bringing them into trouble, and the government's after them, and there's, you know, is this a terrorist plot or not? And it really is sort of the whole theme of the movie is precisely the most dangerous thing in the world is not terrorism.
About
it's
15
our
own seconds to the break here, about 15 seconds.
Okay, you know, and yet you have another movie on the other side, Traitors, starring Don Cheadle, and it does forthrightly deal with terrorism and its reality and how it is evil. So you do have both sides coming out, but I think mostly it's the negative.
Well, when we come back, I want to talk about both of those films. Maybe we could even contrast these two films that Brian just mentioned. Brian Gadawa is our guest. He's a screenwriter in Southern California, author of the book Hollywood Worldviews, Watching Films with Wisdom and Discernment. His forthcoming book called Word Pictures. We're doing a movie review this Friday, October the 3rd, on Issues, Etc. Stay tuned. We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for next year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues, Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues, Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues, Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues, Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you the new Issues, Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues, Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, 1600 Gulfview Drive, Suite 230, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the new Issues, Etc. bumper or window sticker.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. It's the 3rd of October, Friday afternoon. We're coming to you live, doing movie reviews with Brian Gadawa, screenwriter in Southern California, author of the book Hollywood Worldviews, and a forthcoming book, Word Pictures. 1-877-623-MY-IE. What have you seen lately in the theater? Or, like me, you watch most of it on DVD. 1-877-623-MY-IE. 877-623-6943. What did you think of the last movie you saw? It's getting harder and harder for you to watch them. Or did you see something that really had embedded in it the kind of worldview that you find rare coming out of Hollywood? I want to hear from you. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Brian, before the break, you had mentioned Traitor and Eagle Eye. You said these are really kind of a study in contrasts and how we view ourselves as Americans.
Yeah. Yeah, Traitor is about Don Cheadle plays a deep cover. I'm probably going to spoil a little bit of it, but he's a deep cover in an Islamic terrorist organization, but he's a cover for the U.S. government. And but he is actually a Muslim, which is sort of a unique, you know, thing there. So it's not an anti-Muslim movie, and it certainly doesn't portray the American government as being all fine and dandy. There are good guys and there are bad guys in the government as well. And so I think it's just more of a balanced movie where it deals with this reality of terrorism and how do we deal with this, you know, because going deep cover in this situation can be very, very dangerous and have bad implications. And, you know, but they deal with really fighting terrorism. And so yet nobody gets out clean. Nobody, you know, you don't enter in this kind of messy thing without having some damage. And I think that that's honest, yet not denying the reality of the evil of terrorism. Whereas Eagle Eye is sort of like, it's a typical cliche of this, you know, these bad things are happening and people assume, is it terrorism? Is this terrorism? But no, it turns out to be, it's the government causing all this, not terrorists, because the government is the thing we have to be careful of. Now, I'm not entirely against that either. You know, there's reference to the Patriot Act in Eagle Eye, so it's clearly about, you know, has the current Bush administration taken too much power, yada, yada. And I actually think that it's legitimate to make cautionary tales about too much government, Big Brother is bad. I totally have no problem with that. And so in some ways, I think it's good to have the different views out there as for the sake of conversation. You know what I mean?
I do have to ask you, it's not out yet, but I saw the trailer the last time I was in the theaters, and Oliver Stone's got a biopic out on George W. Bush. What do you expect from this movie? It's simply called W. What would you expect, given what Oliver Stone has been able to do on the silver screen before?
Yes, well, I've just recently spoke with insiders who are in the studio who distribute that, and they've seen it. And they say, it's funny, the trailer, they made the trailer look like it's a comedy, but it's not. You know, they do have comic moments, obviously. But it's funny how you can twist things to make them, to try to bring in a crowd. It's not a comedy, but they make it look like a comedy. But quite frankly, they said it was boring. And as most political movies go, most political movies about politics just don't make money because Americans don't like to see them, which is sort of surprising why they keep making them, right? So I've heard it's just a boring, bad movie anyway, so it's not worth seeing. But obviously Oliver Stone is going to try to make him look like, from what I understand, try to make the Bushes look like they're out of touch, living like kings and queens, as if they're royalty and nobility, which is, of course, very anti-middle American, right? So that's kind of what I think he's going to be doing with that film.
The film Tropic Thunder, I think I saw the trailer for this movie about a billion times. They really pushed this one hard, and it has kind of the Rat Pack, if you can even call it that, of comedians in Hollywood now, the biggest names and some of the funniest guys, to be quite honest.
Well, and it's got a lot of raunchy humor in it, so I wouldn't necessarily recommend it for everyone. But, you know, it's sort of – basically, it's a parody of action movies. Yet, it is done as a high-budget quality action movie. So, in other words, a lot of times when they do parodies like that, they're very cheaply made, and they don't care because they're making a joke. But in this case, it's actually a good action movie, but it's making fun of action movies. You know, about these guys who actors think they're making a movie about Vietnam, and they get thrown into the jungle, and they're actually involved with real. Unknowingly, they get involved with real drug lord people, and they think it's part of the movie. So it's just sort of a funny laugh fest. But I wanted to bring up one thing, going back to the politics thing. I think it's interesting that a lot of movies are reflecting, which I think is a good thing. A lot of movies reflect the current moral issues in our culture, which touch on politics. And I think The Dark Knight, the Batman movie, is another excellent example of that. While it wasn't made as a political movie by any means, if you look at it closely, it deals with a lot of the moral issues that we are struggling with in our society and politically as well. For instance, it struggles with the issue of how far do you go to maintain justice? Do you go so far as breaking the law? Should you torture criminals in order to save lots of people? Should you break the law like illegal wiretapping in order to protect the citizenry? All these issues, which are the very issues going on in the Bush administration right now, are in the movie The Dark Knight. And so I think that's a good thing, that movies tend to manifest the issues that we're struggling with, and if they're a good movie, it'll wrestle with it honestly, and I think The Dark Knight does that.
The last one I wanted to ask you about a minute and a half here, because I want to also give you a chance to talk a little bit about Word Pictures, a documentary called Blocking the Path to 9/11. What did you think about this?
Yeah, that's a documentary that they're trying to get out right now, trying to get a distributor, it's basically a documentary about how the movie, The Path to 9/11, actually the miniseries that showed a couple years back, directed by David Cunningham, written by Cyrus Narasta, and it's The Path to 9/11 was about how the 10 years from the first World Trade Center bombing to the Trade Center towers collapsing, it showed how all the terrorist incidents throughout the world, not all, but I mean how many of them from the first bombing to the last one are connected in a thread. So it shows Americans how what happened on 9/11 was not just this incidence of kooks. They've been working towards this and trying to accomplish it for 10 years, and it shows how the Clinton administration and the Bush administration failed as bureaucratic beasts to stop this. Now, interestingly, what happened was, though, because it was critical of the Clinton administration, Bill Clinton himself actually contacted Disney, threatened them, and some other Democratic senators threatened them not to show it. Well, they did end up showing it once. But interesting, they were going to be showing it every 9/11 because it was so good. Everyone loved it at Disney. And they were going to sell the DVDs, of course. But they never released the DVD, and they've never shown it again because Bill Clinton basically put pressure on them to censor it. And they also re-edited it to try to make it less derogatory. All it did was talk about the truth that happened. And it also showed the Bush administration. It was critical of the Bush administration, too, but you didn't see anyone from Bush administration try to censor it. So I just thought it was a real... And this movie, Blocking the Path to 9/11, sort of tells the story of how that politics influenced the free speech and how they willingly allowed themselves to be censored, which is really a crying shame because the Path to 9/11 movie is so good. But I want to say one quick thing here. A movie that's coming up soon, it might be in another month or so, so keep your eyes open. It's called The Stoning of Soraya M. The Stoning of Soraya M. is made by my friend Cyrus Narasta, who wrote and directed it, and it's a true story back in Iran in the 1970s when the Khomeini took over, and it shows how in this little village, the story of this one woman who was married to another Muslim man, and how, because he had a bad marriage with her and he wanted to marry some other woman, he finagled it, and this town supported him in ending up accusing this woman of being an adulteress, even though she wasn't, and they stoned her so that basically he did it so he could marry this other little girl who was 14 years old. It's just a tragic atrocity, but it shows how Islam really can destroy, particularly in uneducated cultures, how it destroys and oppresses women. And just keep your eye out for it because it's a phenomenal film and it's a really well-told story.
1 minute, your forthcoming book, Word Pictures, what's it going to be about, Brian?
Well, you know, it's not going to come out till next year, so I'm not going to say much now. But basically, I write about how the Bible, the subtitle is Knowing God Through Story and Imagination. And it basically, I address the fact that too often our Christianity, our faith is derived by rationality and words and propositions, which is all good, but we tend to neglect the other side of knowing God, which is imagination, images, visual pictures, and the Bible is loaded with imagination, communicates theology through imagination even more so than it does through propositions. And so it just shows a balance of how both of those are in the Bible and how we need to have both of those aspects in our faith in order to know God fully.
Brian Gadow is a screenwriter in Southern California. He's author of the book Hollywood Worldviews, his forthcoming book, Word Pictures. Brian, thank you so much for being our guest.
Thanks, Todd.
When we come back, I would like your reaction to what probably most people were watching on television last night, every major network and some of the minor ones too, all blocked out time for the vice presidential debate right here in St. Louis. On one side, you had Senator Biden. On the other, Governor Palin. They went toe-to-toe for about 90 minutes, kept my attention, which is a pretty big feat. They talked about anything and everything. The questions went far afield. Both were tough on the other. I want your reaction to the vice presidential debate here in St. Louis when we come back from this break. It's open lines. We'll have a little audio as well. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. If you watched the debate and you have some thoughts, I want to hear from you. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Who did you think was the winner last night? 1-877-623-6943 or talkback@issuesetc.org. Audio open lines on the vice presidential debate right after this.
You ought to shine as brightly as Jupiter and Mars. You ought to be in pictures, my star.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What is it, Captain?
Whatever it is, it's incredibly advanced.
Hey, iPhone users, you can now listen to Issues Etc. live on your iPhone. Find out by going to piratechristianradio.com and click the iPhone link on the homepage. You no longer have to sit by your PC, laptop, or home radio to listen to Issues Etc. live. piratechristianradio.com and look for the iPhone icon.
With something much, much more. And it's going to change everything.
Earlobes, should they divide us?
Answers with Ken Ham, co-author of the intriguing book, Darwin's Plantation, Evolution's Racist Roots.
Oh, how many radio programs talk about earlobes? Well, here goes. Earlobes come in all shapes and sizes, fat and skinny, for example. But we don't make a big deal about them. Yet when it comes to other minor physical differences like skin color, many nations divide over them. But we're really all just a shade of brown. We're the same color. We've a pigment in our skin called melanin, but different amounts give us different shades. That's all. Yet skin color, really shades of just one color, is the basis of racist attitudes all over the world. But the book of Genesis teaches that we're descendants of the same man and woman, Adam and Eve. And as the Apostle Paul says, we're all one blood. But the world has turned away from the Bible's teaching of history. Some people have accepted false ideas like humans evolving at different times and places. Sadly, skin shades were the basis of racist attitudes. We should stop relying on man's fallible opinions and start believing God's infallible history.
Using the Bible and good science, Ken Ham reveals much more about the origin of the different people groups, all in an intriguing DVD. The video's yours when you offer a gift to our nonprofit ministry of any size. As we close out the week, give us a call toll-free at 1-888-89-ANSWERS and request the DVD, 888-89-ANSWERS, or go to the web, answersoffer.org.